Good morning. Good morning. What a special Sunday this is. Episcopal School Sunday gives us a chance as a congregation to join together with our school families, many of whom are also parishioners, to celebrate our parish's largest ministry, St. Paul's Episcopal School, and at the same time join with parishes and dioceses around the world in celebrating the impact of Episcopal education on countless children and families in many different countries. I'm honored this morning to represent our outstanding faculty and staff in offering this morning's homily. What a great job our students are doing this morning, serving as our choir, as our acolytes and lay readers, and several more of them in our congregation this morning. As she always does, our music teacher, Mrs. Nikita Disharoon, has done an outstanding job organizing our students in our worship service this morning. Would you please join me in recognizing our students and Mrs. Disharoon? Thank you, guys. We're very proud of you. Appropriately today, on the occasion of Episcopal School Sunday, all of our readings focus on the value of instruction, knowledge, and wisdom. The gospel reading from Luke features Martha and Mary, who you may recognize as the sisters of Lazarus. When Martha chides her sister for not helping her prepare the meal, Jesus points out that Mary's search for wisdom by sitting and listening at the feet of Jesus is more valuable than her sister's act of service in preparing a meal for the Savior. The reading from Ecclesiasticus speaks directly to young people, exhorting them to pursue knowledge. It's amazing how the urgings of Ecclesiasticus are as fitting today as they were when it was written 2,200 years ago. The reading urges that young people seek not only wisdom, but discipline as well. The first line of the entire book of Ecclesiasticus, in fact, says, "All wisdom comes from the Lord." And the passage preceding today's reading says, "My child, from your youth, choose discipline, and when you have gray hair, you will still find wisdom." So we think of discipline often as a bad thing, don't we, students? We think of it as punishment, as in, "I was disciplined by the head of school," or "he got sent to the discipline committee." However, the goal of discipline is that we develop self-discipline. Self-discipline is what motivates us to do what we need to do even when we don't want to. It motivates us to study when we'd rather not, to exercise when we'd rather rest, to keep our rooms clean when we'd rather be messy. Ecclesiasticus tells us that if you young people develop habits of self-discipline now, for the rest of your lives, you'll have the interest and the self-control to seek out wisdom, to learn new things. In other words, you'll become lifelong learners, continually seeking and knowing how to learn more, not necessarily because you have to, but because you want to. You will have developed a love of learning. Besides discipline, today's readings also speak of knowledge and wisdom. There's an important distinction to be made between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is learned information. It's made up of contents and facts and figures. It's stuff that we've been taught or memorized. Wisdom is the developed ability to take knowledge and do something productive with it, to analyze, to extrapolate, to compare and contrast, to form opinions, to synthesize, to design. You've probably heard the adage that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, while wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. We've all seen examples of knowledge without true understanding. Like the young child who thought God's name was Howard because he'd memorized the Lord's Prayer to say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He'd memorized the Lord's Prayer, but with all its deep topics and in the language of the King James Version, didn't truly understand it. I remember as a fourth grader, we had to memorize all of the information in our social studies textbooks without ever really understanding what much of it meant. And so we certainly couldn't apply much of that knowledge. The prime example that has stuck with me all these years that I always come back to is that we had to memorize countless countries' natural resources, including minerals. And the one that I always remember is bauxite. I always had to remember what countries exported or had that as one of their natural resources, and I had no idea what bauxite was. In fact, I didn't know what many of them were, and I certainly didn't know what their presence meant to these countries. Recently, reading a book by humorist Andrew Huggins, I found that he had the exact same experience. He writes, "In school, I learned that many countries count bauxite as their chief export without ever being told what bauxite was. Same for Milo, flying buttresses, Doric, Ionic, and the other kind of column. The mitochondria are the powerhouses of cells," I wrote on test after test, wondering what it meant. "Though I knew that iambic pentameter was what Shakespeare wrote, I had no idea what it was, how it worked, and why I should give a flip." Well, research tells us that education is incomplete when focused largely on the memorization of facts at the expense of the development of these higher order thinking skills. True wisdom comes from taking a basis of knowledge and developing around it these cognitive skills through experience, inquiry, and research. First comes knowledge, then through the development of these high levels of reasoning comes the true understanding spoken of in today's psalm. "Teach me the way and give me understanding." In other words, more than just teaching me information, lead me to be able to make sense of it, to fully understand it. Developing these reasoning skills in children leads to true wisdom and produces lifelong learners. Well, these interlocked traits of discipline, knowledge, and wisdom have long been hallmarks of Episcopal schools. The Episcopal tradition in education is one in which knowledge is important, but the ability to form and express one's own conclusions is just as valuable. It's not surprising that this emphasis would come from a church that has always emphasized knowledge and personal discernment as a basis for true faith. Aptly, the Episcopal tradition in the spiritual formation of students is one that teaches biblical knowledge and its life lessons of character development while gracefully exposing children to the basic simple truths of our faith, that God loves them, and that Jesus came into the world to save us sinners and gave through his life an example of how to live and worship and treat one another. The Episcopal Church has a long history in education. Truly, education historically has been an integral feature of the Anglican tradition worldwide. In fact, there are hundreds of Anglican or Episcopal schools and colleges around the globe. In fact, in several parts of the world, Episcopal institutions are among the country's most elite universities. The Episcopal Church has been especially involved in sponsoring preschool through 12th grade schools internationally. In fact, in Haiti alone, there are more than 250 Episcopal schools, making up a sizable percentage of the country's entire educational system. During the years that my family and I lived in Central America, we occasionally volunteered at one of the many Episcopal schools found there in Honduras. Episcopal education has a long history as well within our own country. Virginia's William and Mary, the second college founded in what is now the United States, was established as an Anglican school of higher learning. So were the institutions that evolved into the University of Pennsylvania and New York City's Columbia University. Father Chuck threatened me with bodily harm if I didn't mention as well that Sewanee University, or the University of the South in Sewanee, Tennessee, is today our largest Episcopal university in the United States. In fact, several colleges and universities in the United States trace their founding to the Episcopal Church, including several historically African-American ones. Throughout the history of the United States, the Episcopal Church likewise has played a central role in college preparatory education, establishing elementary, secondary, and preschool through 12th grade schools across the country. Trinity School in New York City was the first such school in what is now the United States, founded in 1709. Portugal School in Charleston, South Carolina, where I began my teaching career, was founded in 1867 by an Episcopal priest as a school for children orphaned by the Civil War. By the 1930s, of the religiously affiliated schools in the United States, more were affiliated with the Episcopal Church than with any other denomination. And today, there are approximately 100 Episcopal schools in Texas alone, which are often considered to be among the finest schools in their communities. All of these schools, like St. Paul's, exist as missions of Christian outreach. It is in fulfillment of our calling to spread the good news of Jesus Christ that we sponsor these schools. How we measure the success of such a missionary effort is often misunderstood. Some feel that it should be measured in the number of Episcopalian children enrolled. However, unlike some other denominations, the Episcopal tradition in education specifically seeks to serve not only children of other Christian denominations, but those of other faith backgrounds or no faith background at all. This is often not the case in other faith-based schools. On one occasion, one of our Muslim families considered moving south of here in order to be close to the job the father had at that time. And when they chose to remain living in Waco, the mother reported to me that the private schools, which were Christian schools that they had looked into south of here, had all required for admission that at least one of the parents be a professed Christian. The Episcopal tradition in education has never had that requirement. On average, just 25% of students enrolled in Episcopal schools are actually Episcopalians. That's a fact around the world. There are more Muslim students enrolled in the Episcopal school in Jerusalem than Christians. By the way, this is why we refer to our schools as parish schools and not parochial schools, to emphasize the point that they exist to serve the overall communities in which they are located, not just the needs of the members of their parish families. In student bodies of diversity of faith backgrounds, we find fertile soil in which to plant the seeds of the gospel. Another goal of our mission of Christian outreach is to produce servant leaders, graduates who carry with them throughout their lives not only the spiritual formation and character development attained at Episcopal schools like St. Paul's, but also a solid base of knowledge, strong reasoning skills, and an understanding and appreciation of other peoples and cultures. Our prayer is that empowered with these gifts, these children will go on to be thoughtful and compassionate leaders someday. And whatever careers they choose at the local, national, international levels, we pray that you guys will become selfless, open-minded, and compassionate leaders who can be knowledgeable and understanding voices of reason in the many conflicts that face our increasingly diverse and interconnected world. Amen.